It's my great pleasure to hand over to our speaker today on the topic Visions into Action, Sean from New York. Sean, over to you.
Okay, all right, cool. Thanks. Now I'm unmuted. Thank you so much. Great being with you all. It's been quite a journey. So happy to be here. My name is Sean. I'm a recovering under-earner. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I'm here right now. I'll take a 15-minute qualification. May I get a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, and a 1-minute warning?
You can.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay. All right. So a little bit of a preview, a little bit of a preface on this. Back in October of last year, the good folks at the UK Intergroup asked if I would come to the United Kingdom at their 2020 conference, at the 2020 conventions. So I was planning to go there, speak to you all in person, but you know, we all know what happened, pandemic going on. And with the use of technology, we get to talk to each other here today. And so very happy to do that. All right, so I'll give you all a brief background of my journey into UA. I'll touch lightly on visions, and then later in the workshop, I'll give a 20-minute Visions into Action workshop using the Visions, Goals, and Actions worksheet from the UA website. All right, so how did my journey into UA begin? I used to work in healthcare. One time, it was a week-long session on how to work efficiently. It was Friday, the last day of the session. The moderator said to us, we could look at our lives, picture the outcome, look at the end goal. What do we want to achieve at the end? And then work backwards. So I sat there at this conference table in a fancy office. I had a suit on, pinstripe suit, shirt, tie, some shiny shoes. I said, what do I want to do? I want to drink champagne, hang out with good-looking people, and practice art. And within 2 years, I quit my job at the hospital to pursue art, to pursue my vision. And at that time, I wasn't in any 12-step programs. I didn't have any concept of a higher power. It was all self-will, self-confidence, arrogance, fear, resentments, superstitions, all sorts of things, all sorts of bad ingredients. About every single defect of character, every single symptom of under-earning. So I quit the job. My plan was to move from New York to L.A. I wanted nice weather, and quit the job, didn't have any savings, told my landlord I'm leaving, and you know, just self-confidence. I tried for a little bit. My chosen profession after leaving the hospital was photography. My goal, my vision was to be an artist, pencil artist and photographer. And I didn't want to talk to anyone in the industry. Everyone was an enemy. I couldn't trust anybody. Just, hey, got to do it all on my own. That was a story that was in my head. Everything should be done on my own accord, my own skills, my own intelligence. And that was a express to failure. So I quit the job in 2008. And in America, in the globe pretty much, but in the U.S., there was a big financial collapse right after that. So from 2008 to 2011, I was very, very, very much struggling. My parents were paying my bills. They were paying their bills and my bills. They were getting very angry at that fact. I just was not generating enough money with clients. It was just all self-will and no plan whatsoever. In the summer of 2011, my parents really got angry at me and they said, okay, enough is enough. You got to go get a job, get some job. I went back to a facility where where I used to work, there was an executive. I admired the person very much. He moved on to a different place of work. So with a lot of shame, I went to him and I said, hey, I'm looking for a job. He sat back in his office. He smiled. He said, do you want to work here or are you just broke? And I was honest with him. I said, I'm broke. And he said, all right. He understood. He actually encouraged me to continue pursuing the arts. He wanted to pursue it when he was younger, but he was struggling. He wanted to pursue the arts, but he wound up getting a job as a healthcare executive. And in November 2011, I got an offer from the place where he worked. I was offered a full-time job. It would have been the most money I had ever earned. And also at the place I used to work, I got a part-time job. It wasn't enough to cover my expenses, but I could still practice my art. I was kind of met with a dilemma. Should I choose the full-time job, not practice my art? Part-time job, not pay my bills and practice my art? I said, okay, I'm going to take the part-time job, practice my art. And I said, man, that seems like a very crazy decision. I was at a different 12-step fellowship. Someone recommended UA. And so I came to UA. I remember my first meeting. It was in Manhattan. And there were about 12 people there. I was a newcomer. I thought newcomers were able to share. I raised my hand. And no one called on me for the whole meeting. And luckily, I kept coming back. I went to other meetings where I got called on. Now today, I get to share, 194 people watching. I got a sponsor. After I got my first sponsor in UA, and what she suggested was money. She said money is a spiritual transfer. And she helped take me through the steps. I felt really overwhelmed with there's 12 steps, there's 12 tools, and there's 12 symptoms. I didn't know where to start. But I did some reading, eventually got in touch. And the way I found this sponsor was she sat at a meeting. We just happened to talk, and she said, I don't know. I can't remember who started first, but either I said I need a sponsor or she said she is looking for a sponsee. And she took me through it. She asked me to call her every day for a few minutes. I thought that was very strange. So what she said, other folks in program said, give that a try. Call her every day. If that's what she says, try it. We talk. About once a week, we talk an hour doing step work. And doing the step work is what gave me the self-esteem and the confidence to want to earn money, want to earn enough to take care of myself. Other than doing the step work, the tools were pretty much theory. It was the what to do, but the step work gave me the reason why to do it. Because I deserve to be able to have enough food to eat, place to stay. So I always looked at people as an ATM. How could I get money from them? That was their only purpose to me. I didn't care about clients. I didn't care about people. Just how could I get money? She suggested money is a spiritual transfer. And she also said, I should not let my vision be my higher power. And it took me years and years and years and years to understand what that meant. Even today, I keep unraveling what that means. What that means to me is my vision should serve me. I shouldn't serve my vision. I have a compulsion to serve my vision. I want life to look the way I want it to look. I tend to not want to be of service to fellows, to clients. I want what I want, when I want, how I want. And even though that leads to trouble very quickly, I still have that compulsion to do that. Ways that I combat that compulsion is to do inventories, fear inventories, resentment inventories. I talk to fellows. I have multiple sponsors, multiple action partners. And so earlier this month, because the face-to-face workshop was canceled, the good people in the UK Intergroup, they suggested, how about we do a visions workshop? And I said, all right. The interesting thing was that was the one tool I hadn't used yet in UA. So it was like, oh man, now I got to use that tool, the vision, goals, and actions worksheet. But there's something about committing to goals and writing it down, sharing it with other people. I was resistant to, but you know, having this workshop, doing this service, it got me to do it. So you all, I'll go over that later. And visions, yeah. As my current sponsor pointed out, the goals is one of the tools. But he also asked me, okay, what is a vision? And I could get wrapped up in doing what I want to do. I talked with some fellows. What I'll do is I'll do a little bit of a third step reading. You know, because it's a spiritual program, I have to remember that. And let me turn to page 60 in the AA Big Book. That's in the chapter How It Works. I'm going to read some passages of it. And so it's step three, you know, turning my will and my life over to the care of a higher power. So I'm going to use it. I'm going to say it in the first person. The first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, I'm almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though my motives are good. Most times, I try to live by self-propulsion. I'm like the actor who wants to run the whole show, forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the rest of the players in my own way. I'm going to jump over to page 61. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. I begin to think that life doesn't treat me right. I decide to exert myself more. I become on the next occasion still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit me. Admitting I may be somewhat at fault, I'm sure other people are more to blame. I become angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is my basic trouble? Am I not really a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind? Am I not a victim of the delusion that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well? I had to read that today. I read it many days. I have to keep in touch. So what's going on with my vision these days? One of my action partners gave me a strange suggestion. She said, I should not try to earn money. She said, just don't try. Just chill. Connect with your higher power. And I stopped. I stopped trying to earn. And a strange thing happened. Money started to come in that, I had, it wasn't a matter of working hard, because that didn't do it. It was just trusting. And the money's coming in not to my own accord. It's not something that I did. It's definitely, I can't claim credit for that. So I do get to I earn money staying home now. I'm an artist. I use my home as a studio.
Time.
All right, so, that's my time. You'll hear more later, so thanks for letting me share.